This is Brother Gino Cassieri, and once again it's time for the broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Last time we were together on the Pastor's Study, we began to look at the great Bible doctrine of prayer. The great Bible doctrine of prayer. And that's where we're going to continue today to finish up our study on the great doctrine of the Bible, prayer. But before we do, let's go to the throne room of grace with our petition. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the honor and privilege to come and open up thy holy words. Father, we pray again that you'd open up our eyes to see wondrous things out of your words today, Lord. We pray that the saint of God would be edified and built up and established in the faith. Father, we pray that the unsaved, if they're listening today, if there's someone lost that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, would receive him today by faith into their heart, because to receive Jesus Christ is to receive eternal life itself. Father, help us to remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today we want to look at the time, the place, and the manner of prayer. The time, the place, and the manner of prayer. You know, some folks may think, well, you can only, you know, pray in church. Or I only can get saved in church. Amen. But that's not true. We're going to see you can pray prayer anywhere, anytime. You can be saved anywhere, anytime. Amen. So let's look at, as we look at the great Bible doctrine of prayer, the time of prayer. We're going to see, first of all, at certain periods, regularly. Look what the psalmist wrote, if you'll turn with me, to Psalm 55. Psalm number 55 with me, if you would. In verses 16 and 17. And this is a psalm of David. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. And of course, that expression, call upon God, is prayer. Then he says, evening and morning, and at noon, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So here David says he's going to pray in the evening, in the morning, and at noon. And he also knows, amen, that God will hear him if he prays, if he calls upon the Lord. Prayer, another time to pray, is early in the morning. Early in the morning. Look with me in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. In verse number 35. And in the morning, see, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So we see, this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He got up early in the morning. Amen. A great while before the day began. You know, maybe it wasn't quite daylight yet. And he went to a place where he could be alone to pray. Also, we see, as we look at the certain periods of time to pray, we saw regularly early in the morning and at mealtime, at meals. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy, chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 4 and 5. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. See, the meal, amen, is sanctified or set apart, the word of God says, by the word of God and prayer. So that's scriptural to pray before each time you sit down to eat something, amen. The Bible says that's when we should. That's one of the times that we should pray, is at mealtime. We also see we can pray at night. Look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6, in verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And again, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who this is referring to in this verse. He went up to a mountain to be alone, and he continued in prayer all night. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, knew the importance of prayer. And he left us many wonderful examples. Amen. You know, we use the term prayer warrior. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a prayer warrior. Amen. He was a man of prayer. And he wants us to be men and women of prayer as well. We also see that we should pray. We're looking at the time we should pray. Well, we should pray in time of trouble. We should pray in time of trouble. This is one of my favorite verses in the scriptures in Psalm chapter 50. Psalm 50. And in Psalm 50, we want to look at verse number 15 of Psalm 50. We read in Psalm 50, verse 15. Again, we have the expression, and call upon me. Call upon me. Again, that's an expression used for prayer. It means the same thing. And call upon me in the day of trouble. And if we do that, look at the promise. God promises, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So we see prayer, deliverance, amen, and as a result of God delivering us through prayer, glorification of him, praise of him, amen. You know, other people, you can praise God. You can say, I prayed to the Lord. I was going through a very difficult time. Amen. I was in trouble. I felt like I was sinking. And I call upon him, and he delivered me. And I just want to glorify his holy name and tell everybody what a wonderful God that I serve. Amen. We need to do that, Christian. We need to do that more often. We need to glorify and praise his holy name and tell others not only how to be saved, but what he has done for us. Amen. When we've found ourselves in a time of trouble. We also see that we should pray another time, special occasions. Special occasions. Looking in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke 22, beginning in verse 39. And what we're going to read is a passage of the Lord Jesus Christ the night he was to be crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he came out and went in, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn for them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." This really was a special occasion, was it not? Here, our Lord, we find him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're told that he was in agony. He asked the Father for the cup to pass. That wasn't his death or his, you know, his crucifixion. What he was talking about was God's wrath poured out on sin. Because we know when it grew dark that day, their eventful day at Calvary, that Jesus cried out to the Father, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And that very point, the Father could no longer look upon the Son, had to turn his back. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Scripture tells us at that very moment, was made sin for us who knew no sin. All our sins were on him. He became sin for us. And we know God the Father is a holy God and cannot look upon sin. And then finally, as we're looking at a time to pray, always. We saw earlier last week one of the reasons to pray was so we could have victory over the forces of evil. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So again, we've just covered the time of our prayer, and we saw at certain periods, regularly, early in the morning, at meals, at night, in times of trouble, special occasions, and always. And now we want to look and see the place of prayer. You know, the place that we should pray. Well, the first one is in private. In private. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we find the, as I brought out last week, the disciples' model prayer. But look in verse 6 of Matthew 6. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So here we can pray in private. We also can pray amid nature. amid nature. Looking in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So here we have an example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ going up on a mountain amid nature to pray. We should also pray before the unsaved. Before the unsaved. Look in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16 with me. In verse number 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Here we find Paul and Silas in prison in a Philippian jail, for they had cast out a spirit of divination from a young damsel, and her masters were upset because their way of living, their way of income had been taken away. So they caused a ruckus, and Paul and Silas were in prison. And notice what it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. We read, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So here we have the situation. Paul and Silas, it's midnight. They're in a dark, dreary Philippian jail. They're not down in the dumps. They haven't given up. They haven't thrown in the towel. They haven't thrown a pity party. No, they prayed and sang praises to God at midnight. And the prisoners, see, the unsaved, heard them. And that, I'm sure, made a lasting impression upon those prisoners. They're saying to themselves, how could these men be praying to God and praising God and be where they're at in this prison and do that? We should also pray in public. Look at in Acts chapter 27. And 35. Acts 27, verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And of course, this is the account of Paul on the ship that was would be shipwreck, but here he is taking bread, food, giving thanks, you know, praying to all of those that were there with him on that ship. So we should pray in public. We should also pray everywhere. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So again, the place of our prayer should be in private. Can be in private amid nature, before the unsaved, it can be in public, and it can be everywhere. Amen. And that would include church. We can pray in church. We have prayer meetings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to look, lastly, the manner. You know, the manner or the position of prayer. Well, you can stand. You can be standing and pray. Look at in Mark 11. Mark 11. In verse 25 of Mark 11. We read this. Here we read. And when ye stand praying, Jesus says. See? And when ye stand praying. So you can be standing. Can be a position or manner of prayer. also kneeling. Looking in 1 Kings. 1 Kings with me, if you would, chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, you can be kneeling on your knees and elbows. 1 Kings 8, verse 54, look with me. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying of all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. So here we have an example of Solomon praying, kneeling on his knees and elbows. Amen. We also see that you can pray. David prayed lying on his bed. Looking in Psalm 63. Psalm 63 with me. And in Psalm 63, let us look at verse 6 together. Psalm 63 in verse number 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And of course, this is a psalm of David. He says to the Lord, when I remembered thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So we see David praying as he lied on his bed. And then one can pray on his face, you know, flat out on the ground. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 in verse number 39. It's in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ here, again in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he fell on his face. We also see Peter made that quick prayer as he was walking on the water and took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the wind and the waves, and he started to sink. Peter prayed on the water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And then finally, one of the greatest prayers in the Word of God is that thief on the cross. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. In verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord, he said unto Jesus, Lord, that word Lord is taken out in your modern Bibles, those perverted Bibles, amen. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord, amen. And he said unto him, Jesus, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And notice the response in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. For all we know, that thief on the cross was not baptized. Amen. May not have been a church member, but we know that he was a thief, that he had committed a crime. And he acknowledged that he and the other thief were rightly where they should be, but Jesus didn't do anything wrong, and he was falsely accused. He wasn't religious, this thief. But what I want you to see is, He asked the Lord to remember him. He recognized, he acknowledged Jesus Christ in his heart as Lord, and he was saved. Without any sacraments, without any good works, amen, but just on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on him. So we see that the manner of prayer, you can pray standing, kneeling, on your knees and elbows, lying on your bed, on your face, on the water, amen. The Bible sanctions no special bodily position in prayer, for the soul may be in prayer regardless of the body, amen. However, recognition of God by bowed head and kneeling, amen, etc., is in accordance to the attitude of the soul. Because a bowed head and knees, amen, is a position of humility, amen. Let's turn to Luke 18 as we come to the end of the study here. And here we have the worst and the best in one passage on prayer, on how to pray, how to approach God. Amen. Luke 18, beginning in verse 10 with me. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. One a Pharisee, very religious man, and one a publican, amen. Tax collector, was despised by the Jews. Now notice, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice his position, he stood. And he said this, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. See, this Pharisee is pointing out to God how just great he is, amen, how right he is with God. He's not a sinner, amen. He's not a sinner like other men are, but not even like this publican. And he goes on, he tells you how religious he is. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He tells God of all his good works. In fact, he's standing and he's bragging on himself. But look, that's the worst. But look at the best way to pray and approach God. A publican standing afar off. He was probably at the very back. Would not lift up so much as his eyes. His head was bowed. Would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, his position, he was standing like the Pharisee, but his head was bowed. He showed true humility of his heart. He knew that he was wrong. He admitted to God that he was a sinner, and he cried out to God for mercy. And look at the result. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. In other words, this man went to home right with God, this publican, but the Pharisee didn't. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Those that come to God prideful will be brought low. Those that come humbly, God will exalt, God will hear, God will have mercy upon. We looked at this great doctrine of the Bible, prayer. There are many great studies out there on prayer. We just skimmed the surface on prayer, amen. Many things we could say, but I hope the lesson has been a blessing to you listening today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.